This is a really, really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really, really, really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
It's a new beginning.
And now, hello. Please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Shackleton.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gradham.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody fucking likes.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to this week's podcast here at Cyclone Fanatic. It's presented by Charterhouse Real Estate, as you heard in that lovely open. It is Thursday, September 15th. What are we at? Episode 93?
94 sounds more accurate.
I think it's 94.
I do as well. We're nearing that 100 mark, in which we're a group full of men that like to say we're going to do things, then we don't do them. But we should have a party for the 100th.
I think we should.
We need to have like a big one. And we need to do it like, you know how we've had the Fawcast party out at in Kansas City that one year?
Yep.
And that was really fun and cool. I think we need to do it, just keep it like low-key and fun like that. I don't think we need to like do anything huge for it and just let our people show up and everybody hang out.
I'm definitely, though, going to spring for a sheet cake that says 100th episode.
Oh, that's
cool. That's what they do in TV land.
Yeah,
you know, you got to do that. So 100th episode.
That's cool.
Are we going to have balloons dropping from the ceiling on top of us? I think that needs to happen.
Filled with the money.
Can we do it? We should do a Friday night before a home game.
A night one would be good.
Or, you know.
We can do that.
We need to do like one, because listen, like, let's just be honest. The people who are listeners, like loyal listeners to the podcast, we're not talking about a lot of soccer moms here, okay?
No.
We're talking about guys who like to sit down and have cold beer
like
on a Friday night. Yeah. And frankly, I'd like to be able to do that too with our podcast listeners. And, I mean, it's got to be like a Friday night because it can't be Saturday because of games.
No offense to the soccer moms, because I think we have a couple of those.
No, we do. And they're
welcome.
They're rowdy as well.
Trust me.
Only on a Friday night, though.
Yeah, because they're not going to get after it on a Wednesday.
Well, and we should give them enough head time to get a babysitter lined up
overnight.
Because we're
well, that seems a little sexist.
Why?
Why does the mom have to get the babysitter?
Not the dad.
I say that I'm the one that always gets a babysitter in my house. My wife has never once lined up a babysitter.
Do you use the phrase babysitting when your wife wants to go somewhere and you stay at home?
No, I don't. I did that once, but
I do, and it never goes over well.
No, it doesn't. I did it one time. I learned from my mistake, and I haven't done it since.
Yeah. Can't babysit your own kids. That's what I've been told. So, did you guys catch the game last week? There was an Iowa State game.
Yeah.
I honestly
watched it intently because it's my job, but I was checked out of that game like 20 minutes in. It was the men and the boys up front. Like, it was – there was never a point in that game where I thought Iowa State – after I watched the first possession, I'm like, this is ugly. They just got killed.
The biggest takeaway for me, and there were a lot of takeaways in that game, and one is that we're going to have, frankly, I think a really bad season.
You're off your bull pick then.
I'm way off. Yep. I'm back to what I originally thought, which was, you know, that three wins would be nice, because I still think we'll beat San Jose State. I still think we'll beat Kansas, and I can see us sneaking one in somewhere. So three, I'm not off the three number. I think that's reasonable. But the biggest takeaway for me was I think a lot of people were reasonably excited about having a good quarterback. Not a great quarterback, but Lanning was going to be good this year, and he looked awful. There's no other way to put it. quarterbacks have to be able to make simple throws, and he couldn't even do that in that game. Am I the only one that thinks that way, or are we going to be having another quarterback at some point in the season if that continues?
No, I thought the game got out of hand early for two parts. One, you're 100% right. Landon couldn't make a simple throw. Everyone likes to look at the score, see 42-3, and they like to blame Tom Manning and say Manning's up in over his head, or offensive coordinator doesn't know what he's doing. Well, first, it's hard to draw plays when your offensive line is limited in what they can do.
Yep.
But second off, I thought he drew up some really nice plays early for Landing, easy dump-off passes. And Landing, I don't know if he was just a little too jacked up for an in-state rivalry game or what the deal was. He was throwing fastballs on five-yard throws where you got to put a little, just a little touch, just put it on the money. And you don't need to get 20 yards on those plays. Throw it to your tight end, get 6 yards, and instead it'd be a third one play. He missed. His first three throws were so bad, it killed Iowa State's first two drives. And the next thing you know, I was up 14-0, and the game was over. I mean, at that point, the game was over. And then in turn, I think our defensive backs had some miscommunication early in that game too. But,
yeah.
You know, Landing was bad. I mean, there's no question. You can't.
Problem, Joel just, like, he was missing throws so badly.
Yeah.
Like, easy throws, he was just so far off. And that's why, like, for a fan watching at home, that the quarterback always gets more blame than he deserves.
It was fair this game.
Yeah, because – I mean, fans were watching that game, and, you know, it's a guy 5 yards in front of him, and Joel's chucking at it like he's 20 yards down the field. It was pretty bad.
Having seen Park, what was your takeaway? We got to watch him play a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, got to watch him when there's actual real bolts flying at him. I mean, at that point, the game was over. Iowa wasn't doing anything exotic. It was kind of just a base defense. And, you know, there's no pressure when you go in 42-3. You can kind of relax. My take is I don't think Landing should lose his job yet. I think he should start at TCU, and Park should play as well. And hopefully Landing plays good enough to where he keeps the job. And if he doesn't, I think Park will start against San Jose State because I think it's a perfect game to get a guy's first start.
Are you surprised? It's not one of my picks this week, which we'll get to in a little bit. But are you surprised, even though it's a high number, 22 I think was the last number I saw, maybe 24, TCU is favored by. TCU scores a lot of points. They lost a lot of players last year, but they're still really good on offense. Iowa State just came off a performance on the road where they did absolutely nothing, and now they're going down. Where is the drastic improvement this year that keeps that game close? And again, it's just a number. It doesn't tell everything. But I would have thought the number would be higher against TCU.
Yeah, you know, besides once Iowa State gave up those two easy touchdowns, I thought the cornerbacks actually played really well. Beathard just was – I mean, let's be honest. He was really, really good.
Yeah.
He threw the ball well. Vandenberg made some nice plays. I think if Iowa State's defensive backs can be consistently engaged, I think they can maybe slow down a little. They're not going to stop TCU, but maybe slow them down. And last year, if you remember that game, and I don't know who TCU's cornerbacks are now, but their cornerbacks were really bad last year, and Iowa State had verticals open all game.
Yeah.
And for some reason, we didn't throw them enough.
Yeah.
I bet with Landing and Park versus Sam Richardson in that game, I bet we do throw it deep. So I think there's opportunities there. But let's be honest, until I see any different, I don't see Iowa State keeping this within three touchdowns.
Yeah. Well, and if they did, you'd cover. It was just the three touchdowns.
Are you taking Iowa State or TCU, Williams?
Oh, TCU.
All day.
Well, is it at 22.5?
I got 24 still. 24.
It's climbing, yeah. Yeah,
it's been climbing. I liked it a lot more at 22.5, but yeah, I would still take TCU.
Yep.
I think Iowa State's one of those, you can't take them until proven otherwise. You know, they've got to show some stuff.
And TCU, like.
I got 24.5.
Did you guys watch TCU Arkansas by any chance?
The end of it.
Yeah, I watched it.
I
like
went back and watched the tape again. They lost, but you could kind of see them getting better throughout the game.
Because they were. They didn't score a point in the first half.
Yeah, they got better throughout the game. And the only thing is, I don't know if you guys watched Patterson's press conference this week, but he was super down on how he said there weren't enough guys crushed after the loss. Like he didn't sense it in his locker room. Well, they have a lot of young guys, for one, so that could be it. But two, I don't like the fact that Patterson's saying that because you know they've had a hell of a week. Patterson's – I mean, if you were to tell me, like, I could have the – pick of the litter to build a program, like he'd be one of my top five choices. Like the guy's phenomenal.
He is really good. I was actually, as I'm watching that game in overtime, I was hoping for a double triple overtime TCU win. I think that would have been ideal.
Yeah.
The loss now, with it being that close, has got to sting, got to motivate them a little bit more. But the question, more than anything, is how's, and Campbell said this, it's not about what TCU does. At some point, it's about what we do. Like, what are we going to do to step up? Is Iowa State going to rebound after getting killed 42-3, or are they just going to kind of come through and go through the motions again?
I don't think they'll go through the motions. I have it on good source that Coach Campbell was very hard on the guys, and my guess is that they're going to be as motivated as ever. However, They're bringing a butter knife to a machete fight on Saturday, hence why they are 24-point underdogs. You know, emotion and being ready to play can only get you so far.
Yeah, at the end of the day, this is a talent issue. It is. And your coach firing you up and you getting super fired up or having a great week of practice and all of that helps. But at the end of the day,
yeah, I believe all
that
stuff.
If the opponent is simply stronger, faster, better, then 9 times out of 10, that's going to be the result that you get. And TCU is going to be better than us on Saturday, and they're going to beat us on Saturday. I don't know what you do about it. You know, this is a rebuilding process. Iowa State right now reminds me, and here's the good news, it reminds me exactly of the Chicago Cubs. 2-3 years ago, they stunk, but fans were okay with it because there was a plan and things were improving. And I think Iowa State will be that way. Now, where they're going to win the World Series, mind you, because it's a different sport. But
Clones are going to win the national titles.
They'll be consistently a bowl team, in my opinion, in the next few years. But it's not this year, and it probably won't be next year. But if Campbell's allowed to do what he's done other places, which is be a winner and instill his program, then I'm hopeful. But the cupboard, it isn't empty, but it's kind of empty.
It's empty in wrong positions.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, you can't build a football team from the outside in, and that's what they're dealing with right now.
Well, I mean, you look at offensive line. We've hit on it a bunch of times. It's empty. And now you look at it, next year might be a smidge better. But they're losing three guys off that offensive line, and their best player is returning off a broken leg. You just never know how he's going to rebound from that. That's a position that for the next 3 or 4 years does not look overly promising. The question is Campbell going to be able to go out and get like a grad transfer, a JUCO guy that can make an immediate impact? Linebackers are terrible.
What about that Catalina? How much would we love to have him right now?
Great.
It'd be better for him, too, because he'd actually be playing.
The dude
is he not playing?
I don't think.
He probably made the right choice. But here's a question.
I honestly haven't checked, but somebody told me on Twitter.
General curiosity, and I'll direct this more at Gray because he's the recruiting aficionado of the group and follows it like a religion. Are we so bad because what a former coaching staff was doing 2 years ago? Mm-hmm. I mean, were we just recruiting so poorly then that it's showing up today?
Yeah, partially. I mean, if you go and look at our scholarship chart right now, there is a gap on offensive line where we recruited a couple guys that – let's take a look here. I'm not going to say their names, but people could probably go and take a look. They're redshirt sophomores.
Yeah.
And they're not in the two deeps.
Yeah.
And we have redshirt freshmen that are. We have a true freshman that might get playing time at some point this year in Sean Foster.
So we missed on some guys.
And then you have that with Burton not playing his fifth year, senior year.
Correct.
Dunning, Seavers, guys that should be on the program making an impact right
Campos.
Now.
Campos.
Or not here. Campos with Brooklyn.
A big one.
So part of it is misses.
Yeah. It's part misses and I'll come on and defend Rhodes here just in the sense that I think the reason a lot of those guys didn't finish their careers is because they had to play too early and they got the crap kicked out of them, so they weren't ready to play.
Yeah, but part of that is the
I agree
recruiting. Listen, it's a cycle.
I'm not saying that none of this is Paul Rhodes' fault. However, remember the story we were talking about 2-3 years ago is why all these guys keep blowing ACLs and stuff like that. I mean, they had so much of a loss there where they, you know, like Jacob Dunning, for instance, if he didn't get thrown in as a redshirt freshman, he had no business playing as a redshirt freshman.
Yeah.
He's probably not worn down to the point where he can't play right now. Like, it was some bad luck and some bad recruiting. You throw it all together, and I think this is the result that you get.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How different would this line look, though, if you had Daniel Burton and Jake Campos?
It'd actually be a pretty decent line.
Yeah.
It won't be great, but it'd be pretty solid.
You would have 5 guys across the board that you could win with.
Yep.
You wouldn't have any depth, but you would have 5 guys across the board you could win with. They don't have that right now.
They have nobody in the middle that moves anybody.
So the current question is, especially when it comes to the offensive line, have you seen anything personally from a recruitment standpoint, commitments, et cetera, that makes you encouraged for two years down the road?
They've got a lot of offensive
line. They have 5 offensive line recruits in 17 and 8. They already have a 2018 kid recruited. And they're in on some big guys. I mean, Chandler was committed for a short period of time, and they're still going after him. But the problem is those guys aren't going to be ready to actually play for 3 years.
Yeah.
And rarely, like Sean Foster right now.
And rarely is an offensive lineman ready early.
No.
You know?
And they did miss on those JUCOs.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're not in the two deep.
There's no reason like Carson Green shouldn't be playing right now.
Carson Green even showed up half a semester
early.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I don't like singling him out, but if you're going to bring in a mid-year JUCO, he needs to play the next
year.
And it's hard to kill him for misses, too, from the time that they
showed
up.
I'm not killing them,
No, but they did. They missed.
They missed. They were basically scrapping at that point, too. And I'm not going to kill them too much because they took over, like, the 85th-ranked recruiting class in the country and got it into the top 25 or
No, top 50.
Top 50. They're in the top 25 this year. I got those mixed up.
Yep. When we miss, because you can see if a guy is 6'4" and 320 pounds. You can see that. You know that. And maybe not. Maybe you say, okay, he's going to grow to that if it's a freshman or something like that. But especially a JUCO, you know the body type you're getting. So is where we miss as a program in the past more about an attitude? Because offensive linemen have to be kind of a rare breed to be good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're dirty animals, frankly. They're
sons of bitches.
Yeah. And they, you know, they don't take any crap, blah, blah, blah. So are we finding guys, or in the past we found guys that just don't have the right mentality?
I couldn't answer that question. I'm not at practice. I don't know.
Because that's what I would speculate.
Well, I mean, obviously Osimile is, I mean, he's an all NFL player.
Yeah.
But you ask anyone that was up there practicing, he was an a-hole.
Yeah.
Like, he would go out and just looked at just take someone's
he
head
had the attitude
he had
right.
the attitude yeah. He also had the size and the speed.
You know, it's, you know who that reminds me of, just the way you described that, it was George Niang and Melvin Edgem too. Like, I've told the story about Melvin Edgem,
chip on the shoulder type of guys.
Melvin Edgem's like third or fourth day in Ames, they were playing like just pickup ball, and he gets so mad at the way a couple of those older guys were practicing, he picked up the basketball and chucked it at one of their heads. I think it was Jordan Rayleigh. I think that's who it was, but I'm not positive.
Riley probably deserved it.
But my point in Niang was the same way. Niang came in as a freshman and was a instant leader on that basketball team. And that description, I mean, it just reminded me of those two of the all-time greats to play at Iowa State.
In that position, that's what you need.
Yeah.
And maybe we've been soft. Soft implies physical, and I don't mean that, but soft in another way.
You know,
that's not good.
I'll say this about Saturday to not be all negative. I think, knowing Joel Lanning as well as I do, I would be very surprised if he doesn't come out with his hair on fire on Saturday. I don't think Iowa State's going to win, but Joel is such a competitor, and he, for the first time in his college career, is being doubted big time by an entire fan base. People calling him not soft, but like, you know,
he's definitely not soft.
No,
I would not
accurate. I mean, that's what you need to call him. Okay, not accurate.
My analysis here is that Lanning comes out, looks like a totally different guy.
Yeah.
Against TCU, it won't be enough, but I think he has a bounce back on Saturday.
I asked this question to Woody on CFTV Live. If you actually remember, Austin Ernott's worst games were always against Iowa.
Yeah.
I always put it on, he's a kid from Ames. The Cy-Hawk rivalry means something to him. If you're a running back or you're a linebacker, defensive lineman, and you are fired up and you're ready to go before the game, that's good, man. Go rip someone's head off.
Yeah.
As a quarterback, you can't be like that.
Cool,
calm and collected,
man.
I always said Arnott got a little too high on that.
Yeah.
I wonder if Lanning did the same thing in that game, because he came out, his first three throws were so far off, line drives,
the quarterback
no
needs some touch.
Yeah.
And so, touch and fired up don't go hand in hand at the quarterback position.
I do like Lanning or Ian Park. I like him better than I like Sam in this game last year, because unless TCU's cornerbacks are a lot different, we have the ability to beat them vertically. We really do.
Yeah.
And you got to have a quarterback that can just, hey, I'm going to sit back, I'm going to chuck it up deep.
Have we run, and I realize the season's young and this will happen, but I always wonder, and the Iowa game got out of hand quickly, and maybe the first game, you don't want to show your cards too early. But have we run anything yet that would resemble a trick play? And by that, I mean any reverse, anything like that so far.
We've run a sweep with Kenne, but I wouldn't call it a sweep where he comes from the wide receiver position.
The problem is, I don't think they have enough time to do any trick plays.
You have to have the defense on their heels, so to speak. Right now, the defense is
It just seems like when you're struggling offensively, like, do something to change it up, mix it up.
I kind of am the opposite. I just think they need to just go as basic as possible at this point.
I do too.
Three yard out.
I don't think that they've got the line to be able to do anything fancy.
How many targets did Lazard get last week?
Plenty.
More than 10?
He had 7 catches?
Yeah.
So he probably had more than 10, yeah. So I had to go back Tuesday for the CFTV Live and watch the game over again and take clips. And I'm sitting there. The end of the half, I don't know why we were so content on not trying to call timeout and score at the end of the half.
Yeah.
I didn't get that aspect of it. But other than that, most of the play calls, I sat there and I say, hey, there are guys open. I see what they're calling here. It makes sense. I like it.
Yeah.
Got to make plays. Got to make plays.
I agree. It was an interesting week for press conferences in college football. I saw Chris posted one that I agreed with, and I'm on the same bandwagon as you, Chris. Mike Leach, I'm a fan.
I love Mike Leach.
He had an interesting – he basically said life's going to change for his players. Reminds me a little bit of what Campbell supposedly said. But Leach isn't happy with the effort over there. And then Clemson had a nice press conference too. It was an interesting week in college football to see what coaches say. I like it when coaches speak their mind. I think that's why I like Leach. Maybe that's why Chris likes him.
But I've always loved Leach. Did you guys ever listen to his old radio show?
No. That would have been good, though.
When he was fired for a year or two?
Yeah, he had a radio show on the Sirius XM channel, the college sports channel, with Jack Arut.
Yeah.
And it would just be Leach on college football for 3 hours a day. And it was... I went out and bought one of those little XM radio like pocket things just so I could listen to that show every day.
I didn't know that.
I read his book. He's fantastic. He's so freaking smart.
Anybody that doesn't use Coach Speak, I'm a fan of.
Oh, he never does.
Yeah, which is...
Have you seen the YouTube video of Mike Leach giving the weather?
No.
Google that when we're done.
Like real weather, like on a newscast?
It's freaking hilarious. Right. We'll have to watch it when we're done.
All right.
And then Dabo Swinney, I mean, my God, that guy made more sense in 5 minutes than anybody has in 2 weeks talking about the Colin Kaepernick situation.
He did. The biggest takeaway I took from that, and there were a lot of takeaways. If you haven't watched it, Google it. It was definitely worth watching. It's about 6-7 minutes long as a response to a question about Kaepernick. But the thing he said, which I believe wholeheartedly, is that basically said, as long as there's people, we're always going to have greed, you know, sin, basically. And he's right. We are. Like, if we're searching for perfection as a society, et cetera, it's not happening. That can't be the goal. And that we eliminate all crime, we eliminate all hatred, that's just not going to happen because we're humans. But he did have a lot of good points, and he used Martin Luther King as an example for his answer, and it was good. You should definitely check it out.
You guys ever, like, sorry.
I'm about to spoke about religion.
I'm about to derail this, so Gray, go ahead and give your
thoughts. No, I was just going to say, if I had a son that was D1 talent, I would send him to go play for Dabo Swinney in a heartbeat. I loved it. I loved everything he said.
Yep.
Derail away.
Yeah, derail.
The Martin Luther King thing, like, he did so many great things, but he's kind of...
He called him a great guy.
Yeah, like, the thing, like, if you know about, like...
Yeah.
Martin Luther
King. The infidelity
King.
Part
oh
of it.
Oh, my God. No, I'm a Kennedy nut, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've read probably 10 books on Kennedy. Like, yeah. I'm obsessed with him.
Yeah.
And Martin Luther King and Kennedy were obviously very close. And, like, if either of those two were doing what they were doing in, like, today's society, like with Twitter and TMZ and stuff like that. But, I mean, I'm not taking away from anything that Dr. King did. He was obviously a... instrumental.
Absolutely.
He wasn't a saint.
No.
Nobody is, though. That's the thing that you got to get. Nobody is.
Exactly. Exactly.
But we live in a world where everyone's quick to point out other people's flaws.
I loved everything Dabo said. It was fantastic. And but when I watched that, though, I'm like, really? Oh, that's interesting.
The way he said it. Yeah. Like, oh, just one of the best, like, the best person ever or something like that. He's
not Jesus Christ.
His history changes. Like, we grow up hearing about certain people, and then the more you dig in, sometimes you're going to change your opinion on that. Like, one person that in school, we all learned that Christopher Columbus was a great dude, right? That discovered America, et cetera. But the history suggests something else. History suggests that he was a huge asshole, basically, and we shouldn't be celebrating him at all. So, you know, again, if you just remember that people are human and don't put them on a pedestal, then... you're going to be much
That's
better off.
Really good day. Really good day.
All right. Should we talk about our picks?
Yeah, we need to get to our picks.
I think we need to just do a quick recap of how everyone did last week.
We don't have to, but we know that you want to. So.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Oh,
we need to point out the fact that Charter went 0-1, 0-2, 0-3.
I'm just going to talk. Well, Katie, can you grab me a Coke because I'm going to need a chaser? And can you also grab me breast milk, please, out of the fridge? Thank you.
Can you grab me some water, please?
And a water for Chris.
Thank you.
And she's actually doing this. I'm not joking.
Are we going to do these and then our picks for this week?
I think we should do the picks first.
First, yeah, so you could talk.
Yeah, and then we're going to live Periscope the taking of the shots.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Shake up that breast milk. Make sure it's not – that's not for me.
I don't want it to be, like, clumpy.
Thank you, Katie.
Clumpy, I can handle this.
It's not clumpy. It looks good.
Now, Chris had a request on Twitter yesterday that she eat a little Oriental or some –
We didn't get that done, so the flavoring is going to be more of a chicken club variety. That's what she had for dinner last
night.
You know,
that's not bad. So pretty blah.
It's all good. All right. So last week, go ahead, Greg.
You went 0-3. C-Dub went 2-1, and I went 3-0. Nice week.
So you are.
Are you keeping season
standings? Yep. I'm 4-2. Williams is 3-3. Charter dropped to 2-4.
What?
We had 2-1 and 0-3. I'm not a math major, but I think that's correct.
That sucks.
It's not good.
I feel good. So we're changing the rules this week. We're going to five games.
Yeah, five games, and we're doing no tiebreaker then? So here's my question. What if we tie still? Are we still doing a tiebreaker?
How about tiebreakers? Let's just keep tiebreakers simple. The tiebreaker goes to the person with the best overall season record.
Deal.
Simple.
That works because people don't like the tiebreaker.
The tiebreaker, yeah. Points are so flaky.
We're less likely to have. The reason we're going to five games.
I'm totally fine with that. Yeah. Is a tiebreaker. I don't like the points.
Yeah, the reason we're going to five games is, and this was not our idea, someone on Twitter suggested it, and we're taking that advice. Three games is too easy to tie every week.
Yeah.
So five is going to separate us a little bit more.
All right.
Absolutely correct.
All right, who wants to start?
You go ahead.
All right, I'm going to start with tonight's game since we're recording on Thursday. NFL game, I'm going to take the Bills. I have them as a pick 'em over the Jets. The Bills have won the last five, I think, in the series. It's at Buffalo. They looked pathetic in week one. I think they have a nice bounce back against the Jets.
I did see something where Rex Ryan done a really good job against Fitzpatrick as well. Hasn't he kind of owned him a little bit?
Yeah.
I like that pick.
Yep.
Man, if the Jets start 0-2, though, everyone was on the Jets bandwagon. I know.
I'll jump right in with the game of the week, and I'm going to take Oklahoma. I'm going to take a point and a half at home against Ohio State. And I'm really not even that high on Oklahoma here, fellas. It's more that's a really tough environment for a really young Ohio State team to go into. Ohio State will still make the college football playoff, but they lose on Saturday.
So it's plus 1.5.
Yeah, I'm getting a point and a half with Oklahoma.
That is the hard. That might be the hardest game I think I've ever had to pick. I think Urban Meyer's maybe him or Saban are the best coaches in the country.
Oh yeah, there's no question.
One of my picks too. So let me hop on here real quick and do pick number two. I'm going the other direction. Chris has 1.5, so I'm going to take that 1.5. I had it as 2, but I like 1.5 better. Give me Ohio State -1.5. Primary reason: I honestly think that Urban Meyer is the best coach in college football.
Yeah,
that's why.
If it wasn't Urban Meyer, I think I'd be all in on Oklahoma playing in Norman. They have to win the game or their season is over.
They're returning 6 starters. Like it's still an incredibly young team.
And yeah.
That again, I think Ohio State's in the college football playoff.
Okay.
But
this is their loss.
This is their one loss, I believe.
I picked Oklahoma in our staff picks. I'm not picking that game on this one. I don't.
You're probably smart.
Yeah.
It's a 50-50 game for a reason.
All right,
Gray, where are you at?
I'm going to stick with what seems to always work. I'm taking the under in the Iowa State game, 61.5 points. Iowa State's offense sucks. It sucked for years.
Dude, I agreed with you last week. I don't know if I agree with that one.
60. It's actually. I thought it was going to be 60. I thought it was going to be like.
So 66, it's 61.5 because my final score prediction was 58-3. So you'd win.
58-3.
You'd win. We just lost 42-3. It's impossible.
And TC's got a much faster pace than
Iowa
does.
If we lose 58-3, I will not come in and do a forecast this week. I
told a bunch of people before the Northern Iowa game that if we lost that I was just going to go hide in a bunker for a month.
You couldn't find a bunker?
Oh,
yeah, I noticed I'm filling in for you tonight again. It's 2 weeks in a row we lose, and you just said you don't want to do the radio show.
I've done plenty of radio.
Are you going to douche country tonight, by the way?
No, hell no.
Okay, I didn't think so.
Who's douche country? Who's
freaking Florida-Georgia
line. Florida-Georgia line. Yeah. All right.
Douche McDouchey.
All right. Back to Chris Williams.
Oh, it's my pick again?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. I'm just going off the whim here like I normally do with these.
Okay.
Which I tend to have better luck.
Hey, we each have our own style. That's fine.
I tend to do better when I do that. I'm gonna take Florida State at Louisville. It's down to 1.5. So if Florida State, who is one of the best teams in the country, if they can win by a field goal, I'll take that.
I know you're a huge football fan and you watch a lot of the games. Have you watched Louisville's quarterback yet?
Yeah.
That dude's sick.
Yeah, they're good. They're
that
really
dude's
good.
Sick.
I'm not crazy about that game, but I am a believer in what Florida State has coming.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm going with. I think Louisville's a good tier two team, but they're not up there with the.
Yeah. You know, it goes Bob Stoops, and then and Urban Meyer, and then the next set of coaches that are Bobby Petrino's in that group.
Oh yeah.
As far as one of the best coaches.
He's great. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. That's another game where I am staying away from. I will not pick that one.
It's a dangerous one.
It's a phenomenal game though.
Yeah, and it sucks that it's on the same time as Iowa State. That'll be on TV number 2.
Well, if we lose 58-3, like Charter says, we'll be watching that by the first quarter.
Yeah, we will. Great, unless you got a pick.
I do.
Go ahead. My next three picks I love, by the way.
This team got screwed in week one or week two.
Oklahoma State.
I like Oklahoma State -4.5 against Pittsburgh. Yeah, Pittsburgh had a big emotional win against
I looked at that one
Penn
too.
State. Now they're going on the road.
Pitt doesn't wow me. Got a great running back, but
their offense the first week wasn't very good, and I honestly, Penn State should have won that game. We were actually texting back and forth. The guy dropped the ball.
That game cost me. That literally cost me. Yeah. That was an ugly one. All right, my next three picks, I sometimes I like them, sometimes I'm on the fence. But the next three I love, and the first one of those three is I don't get this line at all. I see a victory by more than 14 points.
Dude, this is where I was
to going. To an underdog LSU. By 3 points. Nope, this is a different one.
Okay.
I've got Oregon plus 3 at Nebraska. I think Oregon puts it on them.
Really?
And scores. Yeah, I do not see Nebraska. And I realize, hey, Chris, you grew up as a fan, whatever. But
I hated Nebraska.
I do not see Oregon losing to Nebraska. I don't care that it's at Nebraska.
Do you think I'm a Nebraska fan?
Well, you're over on that side of the state.
Come on, I hated them.
You know, so
the last thing I am.
Give me happily Oregon plus 3.
This is what happened last year, too, when they played Michigan State, and you were dead set Michigan State was going to get ruled by Oregon.
Yeah, I remember that.
We had this big debate.
What was the final score on that one? I don't recall.
I think Michigan State won. I don't know. They won. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Do you disagree? It may not be one of your picks. You think Nebraska beats Oregon?
Yeah, I do. I wouldn't have thought that.
I would take Nebraska.
I just don't see it.
It's
don't
in Memorial it, Stadium. It's got to be their biggest game in 3-4 years.
Yeah, it's big.
I mean, they
had UCLA in a few years ago and lost that one, too.
Yeah.
That was Hundley at quarterback that day.
New coach, though, second year. I think excitement's at an all-time high. They've looked fairly – they actually didn't look that good for three quarters against Wyoming, but they put it on them late. I think the excitement there, I think the energy's going to be unbelievable.
It will be, but it only takes a couple of bombs to get the energy out of that stadium. So, I feel real good about it. But we'll see. Time will tell.
All right.
Time will tell.
You know what? I'm going to go against you right now. I'll take Nebraska -3.
All right. I like it.
Oregon did not look that great against Virginia last week.
I like it. Yeah,
I agree, but not great is like they still won by 18, 20, something like that.
12 or I don't know. It wasn't.
They didn't cover. They didn't cover, but they don't need to cover here. They just need to win. That's good enough.
I think,
would be covering.
Well, you know what I mean.
I'll take 7.5 in Texas at Cal.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right, that's another one. I'm on the other side. We've got a lot of divisive games this week. I'm taking – it's hard for me to be a believer in Texas at this point.
I'm taking that game more because of Cal. Did you watch
Cal? Cal's not good.
Yeah, I don't think
Cal's not good, but it's still 7.5 points, and they're still at home. So
I'm going to buy into the Texas hype. I'm going to buy in.
All right. I'm happily on Cal plus 7.5 in that game.
You know, as I sit here, we talk about Texas. I'm so happy for Charlie Strong. When he showed up there, he kicked half that team off, and everyone gone. People need to remember, not that Campbell kicked half the team off, but he did get rid of some guys, and they've lost about 9 guys from the 2 deep since he first took the job. I think you can look at Texas, what Charlie Strong did, and I'm not saying Iowa State's ever going to be there, but in 2 years,
yeah,
maybe Iowa State starts seeing this kind of coming.
I hope so. I'm going to jump in and take one more here before I forget it. Speaking of our boy Mike Leach, his boys are motivated this week, and they beat Idaho by more than 25.5.
Okay.
Idaho's awful.
The Vandals?
Yeah, the Vandals.
I like that name. That's good. All right, Gray.
Go ahead.
My fifth and final pick this week. I expect a little bit of an ugly game. But again, coaching staff, sometimes coaching matters. I think this one is one of those games. I'm going to take Michigan State plus 8 at Notre Dame. Mm. I see Notre Dame winning, but I like that plus 8. I think Michigan State keeps it close. Maybe wins outright. Who knows?
I like that pick.
Gray, is it on you, or is this my last?
You can go ahead if you're ready. I got two more, Dick.
Well, I really like the Oklahoma State line, but I don't want to piggyback off of you.
Okay. I'll pick quick. I got to go against our team here.
Yeah. I was thinking about taking TCU as well.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Oh, okay.
Going against the Vikings.
Oh.
Interesting.
It's not our team. You're not a Vikings fan.
Bandwagon.
You're not a Vikings fan.
Did I go and sit in negative 27 temperature to watch Blair Walsh miss a 27-yard field goal?
Man,
did I?
But you also named your dog after a Packer. So
brutal game.
You're not a true Vikings fan would never name his
but
dog
as we've discussed
here,
I hate my dog, so maybe you think you should, you know.
Well, obviously you do, because you named your dog after a Packer. Makes a lot of sense why you would hate it. Or you named it after a Packer and you just started hating it because of that.
Okay. Anyway, Packers actually did not look that good the first week. They probably should have lost that game.
Vikings defense is tenacious, Gray.
They were pretty much handed that game to him by Tennessee. Mariota's interception.
They took it away from him.
There was nothing taken. I think the Packers' offense is just a little bit better. I think the Vikings will end up at the end of the year being a better team, because I think Bradford will get rolling a little bit. Too early. Packers 2.5. Take it.
All right. Chris, do you have another pick? Are you done?
I get one more.
Okay.
I'll take Michigan at minus 20 over Colorado.
I don't hate that pick. Michigan's looked good.
They won by 21.
No, that's enough.
And Harbaugh's pissed about that fake depth chart that Colorado
put. No, he's not.
I'm just – see, that's what I say, like, when I – why I like to pick my picks, like, on the whim is because I think about stuff like that. Like, I start to overanalyze it. And, like, I'm overanalyzing the Oklahoma State game because I'm like, have they just been too hung up on that last play? Have they been freaking out about that and they're not focused on the future? Like, that could go. Like, that's my problem. I overanalyze everything.
Gray, do you want to hold this?
I think it's a big enough team coming back. Like, Pittsburgh's a big enough name that they can
Do you want to film?
Get their attention early.
I'm looking at Katie. We gotta put this live.
Oh, I'll get the Periscope up.
We could have two.
Yeah, we'll get both.
What do you have to drink, Charter?
Apparently, just that. When I'm looking,
you just have to drink tequila. That's it.
Unless there's something else there.
Go ahead and hit
start whenever you want.
I'm going to take the under game here.
Okay.
I'm going to take the under at Boston College, Virginia Tech. It's 42 points.
Jeez.
Yeah, Boston College's offense is terrible. Their defense is really, really good. The under's hit for them both times. They've scored 31 points and 33 in their two games so far this year. I'll take the 42 on that, and I'll take an easy win on that one as well.
Okay. Of my confidence on my picks, I would say it's like I'm at like a C. This week.
I feel good.
I don't feel good about these, but we'll see.
We're going to see if you feel good about the shot you're about to take. So we're on Periscope. We're live. So apparently, is this it, or you got something to add to this?
I got something to add to it.
All right. So I'm drinking at least tequila, which I'm okay with.
Yeah, you like tequila?
You know, and Chris is gonna be drinking this.
That's Mark's wife's breast milk.
I'm going to shake it up a little bit more. Yeah, it's still cool. Which is good.
I'm just going to, in my mind, it's like I'm drinking some soy milk.
Gray, the time has come. If you're going to add something to this, you need to do it.
All right. Well, I got two things to add. So first pour about half of that full tequila.
I hope it's gummy worms.
We're going to add a little hot sauce to that tequila.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
And we're going to add some vanilla extract as well.
What is that going to do?
I don't know. I asked people on Cyclone Fanatic, and, you know, this is one of the ideas they came up with.
What did your wife have for dinner last night?
She had a chicken club sandwich.
Well, that's bland.
I got that one full for you. And
Why wouldn't she eat something like with flavor?
I don't know. She had bagel bites for lunch. So those are tasty. You know, I don't even feel bad for you. This is nature's miracle that you're about to drink. Like, the rest of your day, you're going to feel like you took a protein shot or something.
It's like I'm taking a shot of vitamins.
You know, it's all good. Do I have to pour my own?
Yeah, you got to pour your own. I'm not pouring it for you.
Can you open this, please?
Jeez.
Man.
Here. We'll have Nick do that real quick as I'm periscoping this.
I feel I would rather take the breast milk shot than what you're about to do.
I don't even know what this is. Is this a thing? Is there a name to
this?
I
don't know. Someone just put it together, and I said, you know what? I thought I had everything. I did not. I had to stop at the store.
All right. So you said,
who here hasn't had breast milk before? I mean, come on.
I have not drank breast milk. You haven't drank your own breast milk, Katie? No?
Her own?
Yeah.
She's never been pregnant.
Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry.
You know that
sorry,
not,
Katie.
You know, oops. Not all women just have, you know,
breast milk just hanging around?
They just leak at all
that
times.
That was one of the weirdest comments you've ever made.
And I made a lot of weird ones. Sorry.
That
Katie.
Was weird, dude.
And if she did, why would she drink her own breast milk?
A little more, bud. A little more. Yeah, we're doing a full shot here.
Well, I think you need to add more tequila because that's prepping a hot sauce.
Yeah, that's the point.
All right.
Jeez.
Oh, come on, Nick.
I guess F you, Charter.
Jeez, man.
Some vanilla. Why not?
It's god awful.
Yeah, that's the
vanilla
point.
Abstract is?
Yeah,
I mean, the goal is not to, like, make us puke, right? It's the goal to, like...
Yeah, the goal.
Okay, well, fill the rest of the tequila up there. I'll go a little easier on you here.
Can we mix that? Do we have a spoon or something?
Yeah, because otherwise like, that's just going to,
it's
like,
just going to sit and not do anything. Whose idea was this? This is a horrible idea.
Yeah, I got a feeling that this is going to get really old after about, like, 7 or 8 weeks.
Not for me, because I don't plan on losing. So I think you guys need to do it one at a time. So we'll have Williams go first.
That's fine.
He can take his shot of... Katie Charter's breast milk.
I mean, the good news is it's a shot. The good news is you don't have to sip it.
Charter, people are making fun of you for your keyboard, your great keyboard.
Can I go?
Here, look. Show them my keyboard. There.
This comes out. Okay.
There you go.
Can I go?
Yep.
All right.
William's about ready to take this shot of breast milk.
Gay pride.
I got to get my chaser here.
You have to wait 5 seconds before you use the chaser.
No, there's no rules like that. It can be immediate. We do expect a review.
In life, there are large ships, there are small ships. But the best ships are friendships.
I love it.
That's awful.
Cheers. Here, you're going to do yours first, but I'll cheers you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That is disgusting.
I don't even need a chaser.
It's sweet, isn't it?
It's very sweet. It, honestly, it tastes like soy milk.
You can see why the kid loves it, man. Can't get enough.
That's like taking a shot of wheatgrass. That's really helpful.
That really wasn't bad.
I'm gonna cheat.
How much more? Does she have like more of that stored?
She got a lot.
You got it in the freezer?
I'll be honest. That does not taste horrible so far.
Well, honestly, so far I thought you were a little weak on the vanilla extract and the. I mean, that's not even a full shot. Let's get it. Let's get zoomed in on this.
All right, pour a little bit more in there.
More of both of this right here.
I feel way worse for you than what I just said.
I'm starting to as well, to be honest with you.
Honestly, whoops. That wasn't bad at all. Breast milk's pretty good, actually.
Jeez, Nick. All right, it's full now.
Wow, that is a lot of vanilla extract.
Dude, don't puke.
Bring a trash can over here.
So now all of a sudden I'm worried about vanilla extract. Is it not good to drink that stuff?
I would
stuff?
Be way more worried about
it's the really good in French toast. Don't take that with you, by the way. I'm going to make the kids French toast in the morning.
All right, here we go. God, I'm worried. This looks like crap.
Just do it, man. Don't think about it. You just got to go.
All right, 1, 2, 3. That was not good.
Oh, buddy.
Oh, just for everyone listening, that was half tequila and less vanilla extract and some hot sauce right here.
I feel like the hot sauce would help.
It's burning a little bit on the way down,
too.
Didn't
the hot sauce just take over everything else?
I tasted mostly hot sauce, and I'm feeling it right here.
Not so much right here, but right there.
In the windpipe right now. So I can't wait for you to lose, Gray.
Yeah.
Will not happen, especially if that's going to 5 games.
Oh,
you guys might have gotten lucky on 3, but
I think
5.
Williams did win, man. Like, there's actually something that tastes okay
about that. I'm going to work out. I feel like I just took, like, a pre-workout.
Oh, that was gross.
Shake right there.
I'll be honest.
Protein?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
You better start taking these picks seriously, man. It's not good. Plus, I have a cold. I feel like my nose is going to start running, too.
That'll kill all the cold.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well, if you're watching, goodbye. Thanks.
Yeah.
We actually had 67 live viewers there, guys.
There you go.
Was, you know.
Jeez. All right. Well,
I definitely taste a little bit of vanilla on the tongue still.
Yeah.
I feel it in the throat. Like, I barely tasted the tequila. That was the thing I didn't taste the most of.
Tequila is by far my least favorite alcohol.
Yeah, tequila is disgusting. I hate it.
Thank God for chasers, man. All right.
Iowa State picks. I like TCU to cover.
I do too.
Gray?
I'm going to go 42-17. Yeah. I like TCU to cover.
I'll say 49-14.
Which then I would not be covering. My over-under.
TCU scores in the 50s, I think.
I think Iowa State only went on the over 3 times last year.
I don't know how Iowa State's going to be able to run the ball effectively to kill clock to keep them from scoring 40 to 50 points.
They need to use the pass game in the short end.
Well, yeah, either way.
But you got to connect on those passes.
Yeah, I don't think Lanning can do that consistently.
He actually throws a 10 to 15-yard pass fairly well, those little ends, because he's got a good arm. But, man, he's got to do better on the intermediate and short passes.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Good stuff.
Have a great weekend.